We present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the panel game that's done for comedy what Gareth Hunt did for rhyming slang. We come to you from historic Stratford, where thousands of visitors flock each year to admire and wonder at the site that once launched our nation's greatest theatrical career, or to marvel at the place where his wife once lived by visiting Emma Thompson's cottage. We're located in the magnificent Royal Shakespeare Theatre, and by way of a tribute to our noble surroundings, this final show in the current series will take a strictly Shakespearean theme. Now, Stratford isn't only about fine stage performances from well-rehearsed professionals. Oh, no. So let's meet the teams. They are on my left. Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. On my right, Willie Rushton and Tim Brooke Taylor. And warm applause, please, for our scorer, the lady who sits on my left hand. The delightful Samantha. Our first round. Have you finished? Our first round is entitled Shakespearean Headlines. In days of yore, teams, long before the invention of newspapers, events of great importance were recorded in tapestries hung in our national buildings to be inspected by the public and then taken down on Fridays to wrap around their fish and chips. In this round, teams, I'd like you please to come up with some likely newspaper headlines that one might have expected to find in the papers after a certain event recorded by Shakespeare. The event is the unfortunate demise of Hamlet, Prince of Denmark. Barry, you start, please.
Dog Breeders' Gazette. Great Dane puts self down.
The Times. Blair says whittling down a royal family a success.
The Stage. Touring players unexpectedly available for panto.
The Daily Express reprints Ophelia's panorama interview in full, where she says a surfeit of lampreys was just a cry for help.
The Guardian, yesterday's headline, Laughter at Elsinore, should have read Slaughter. At Erinsborough.
In a thundering headline, the Sun tells the Prince, just be.
The Telegraph, Danish bloodbath, no Britain's hurt.
Any more? I say, let's try another. This time it's the regrettable demise of Macbeth, Thane of Cawdor.
Gay news, Macbeth outed, admits laying on Macduff.
The Guardian, Boreham Wood seen approaching Dungeness.
The Sun, phew, what a Scotchman.
And The Scotsman. The headline is, Och, Eye of Newt.
The Glasgow Herald, pioneering test tube baby kills king.
And Woman's Own, Delia's recipe for Dunkin' Donuts.
Any more?
The London Evening Standard. Tube strike off.
Okay, well, our next round, musical Shakespeare, is hugely entertaining. except for listeners in Northern Ireland, Scotland, Wales, and England. In this round, teams, I'd like you to sing the words of various popular Shakespearean passages to certain well-known contemporary tunes of my choosing. You'll be accompanied on the piano by Colin Sell, one of the finest musicians of the day. Of course, when night comes, something seems to desert him. Tim, I'd like you to start by singing the If Music Be the Food of Love speech from Twelfth Night to the tune of Hernando's Hideaway.
Music be the food of love. Play on, give me excess of it. That's a fitting the appetite. May sick a man so die. But that stank again is half a time for. Oh, it came, oh, my dear, like the sweet hound of breeze that breathes upon a bank of violets. Stealing and giving odor enough, no more. Oh, late.
Samantha just told me that she can't keep the score because she couldn't hear Tim then for Colin Sell banging away.
I've just realised why there isn't a television version of this.
Barry, would you please sing The Quality of Mercy Is Not Strained from The Merchant of Venice to the tune of Leaning on a Lamppost.
Quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It is Christ blessed, O Mother. It blesses him that gives and him that takes. His mightiest in the mightiest, it becomes the throne. It monarch better than its crown. It steps and knows the fall. All temporal power, the attribute to all the mercy be within the sin, the dread and fear of kings. But turn out nice again.
Graham, will you please sing the Blow Winds and Crack Your Cheeks speech from King Lear to the tune of As Time Goes By?
Blow winds and crack your cheeks, rage blow you cataracts and hurricane spouts, till you have drenched our steeples, drowned the cocks.
I love you, Mick.
You sulphurous and thought executing fires, want couriers of oak cleaving thunderbolts. Singe my white head and thou all shaking thunder. Strike.
Finally, Willie, will you sing Hamlet's To Be or Not To Be speech to the tune of A, You're Adorable?
To be or not to be, that is the question. Where that is nobler in the mind. Cause that further sings an arrow's of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against the sea. Your troubles and by opposing in this divide, no more am I asleep to say. With the heart again, a thousand natural shocks, the flesh is here to tis a con.
Now it's time for a round called Bardioki. Personally, there's never time for a round called Bardioki. It's a version of karaoke from Tudor times where revelers made sport of the Green Man, the Queen's Head, the King's Arms, and anything else found lying in the street on the way to the pub. Bardioki involved performing over Shakespearean hits of the day. This tradition is still kept alive by rugby players and financiers, but nowadays they tend to restrict themselves to performing over the Merry Wives of Windsor. Teams, I brought along with me some popular recordings of Shakespeare performances, which I'd like you to read along to. At a certain point, the words will be faded out, and the object is to be as close as possible to the original when it's faded in again. Barry and Graham, would you start by accompanying Kenneth Branagh and Sir John Gielgud in this extract from Hamlet, Act 1, Scene 5, where Hamlet confronts the ghost of his father. Oh, and Graham, you can be Kenneth, and Barry, you can be Sir John.
Well. Whither wilt thou lead me? Speak!
I'll go no further!
Mark me!
I will!
My hour is almost come. When I to sulphurous and tormenting flames must render up myself.
Alas, poor ghost.
Pity me not, but lend thy serious hearing to what I shall unfold.
Speak, I am bound to hear.
So art thou to revenge when thou shalt hear.
What?
I am thy father's spirit, Clothiers.
Oh.
We have time to make up. Doom for a certain turn to walk tonight and for the day for Frankenstein. Well, should the pub grind done in my days of nature are burnt and purged away.
Oh.
And then I am forbid to tell the secrets of my prison house. I could a tale unfold whose lightest words would harrow up thy soul. And now the weather. Freeze thy young blood. Make thy two eyes like stars start from their spheres. Thy knotted and combined locks to part.
Oh,
and
in particular. Yes. If thou be given of your kind of
love, oh God,
within me.
Right, it's your turn, Tim and Willie. And Willie, I'd like you to accompany Sir Michael Redgrave, and Tim, I'd like you to accompany Dame Edith Evans in this 1940s recording of Act 4, Scene 1 from As You Like It.
Good day and happiness, dear Rosalie.
Why, hello, Orlando. Where do we all this while? You a lover? And you serve with such an old trick? Never come in my sight more. He that will divide a minute into a thousand parts and break the first part of the thousandth part of a minute in the curse of love, it may be said of him that Cupid hath clapped him on the shoulder, but our rod warrant him heart whole.
Oh, probably by the Lorden.
Nay, and you would be so tardy, come no more in my sight. I had least been wooed by a snail.
Of a snail?
I of a snail. Though he comes slowly, he carries his house on his head, a better jointure, I think, than you make a woman.
What?
Besides, he brings his destiny with him.
Well, what's that?
Why, horns.
Virtue is no horn maker.
That's funny, though.
And, yeah, I think. Shakespearean joke.
Get on with the bulb.
And my Rosalind is virtuous.
And I am your Rosalind?
Something called Celia now. It pleases him to call you so, but he hath a Rosalind of a better leer than you.
Come, woo me, for oh, now I'm in holiday humor and like enough to consent. What would you say to me now? A handbird. Am I the your Rosalind?
I would kiss before I spoke.
Nay, you had better speak first, and when you were gravel for lack of matter, you might...
It's another letting, gravel.
Not far off.
The king is just as the kiss.
I have the kiss me
tonight. No. If you hadn't said a handbag, we'd have done it.
No, you wouldn't. They were into the B feature by the time you got back. Well, our next round is a Shakespearean version of our regular game, Cheddar Gorge, which we've cleverly modified and renamed Cheddar Bard. Now, in Cheddar Gorge, each team member is obliged to utter a single word in turn in order to make up a sentence. The object is not to complete the sentence. The game of Cheddar Bard follows identical principles, the only difference being that all the words uttered should be ones in common usage during Shakespeare's lifetime. Now, our theatre audience can hardly have failed to notice that I have a big shiny horn in front of me. When you hear this, teams, it means that the sentence has been completed and points will be taken away. Right, Barry, will you start us off, please?
Strumpet. Pride.
Lord.
Of. Devon.
And Exeter.
Privy.
Seth.
He.
While.
He.
Was.
Mulching.
Was.
Was.
Mulching.
Beans.
Tudor comma.
Two words. Sans.
Duncan. Teeth.
Sans.
Eyes.
Sans. Warlocks. Oh, Sans ran out.
And also,
Mary, if faith,
here's
two.
No, it's just that I don't know about finish a sentence. You haven't even started one yet. Try and get a sentence underway. Can you? Let's start again. Barry, start off again, please.
Puking.
On the other hand. Let's go on to round, which is entitled. This is called Quoting Shakespeare. What, I wonder, can our teams make from a series of phrases or sayings first employed some 400 years ago? Well, apart from the script for the Jimmy Tarbuck show, they might like to introduce some culture into the proceedings by putting appropriate endings onto some famous quotes from Shakespeare's works. Willie, we're going to start with you. Will you conclude this saying? Some men are born great, some achieve greatness, and some...
run British Gas.
Barry, how about this, Barry? I know a bank whereon the...
former foreign secretary sits.
Graham, friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your...
punchline.
Here's one for you, Tim. Though this be madness, yet there is...
worse, late at night on Channel 4.
Another one for you, Willie. Et tu?
Et tu, but couldn't manage three wee bits.
Barry, it is a wise father that knows his own...
blood group.
Graham, shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more...
wet and windy, with a cold front moving in from the south.
Oh.
Tim, blow winds and crack your...
underpants.
Okay, let's go on to the next one. This is a game called Blind Date. It's based on that old televisual favorite in which hapless someone when the screen is pulled back. That's casualty. However, ours is a special Shakespearean version of the popular show hosted by Cilla Black. And teams, in this round, I'd like three of you to assume the identities of certain desirable male characters from Shakespeare. And, as was traditional in Elizabethan times, our female chooser will be played by a male child actor. And happily we have in our midst the exceptionally childish Tim Brooke Taylor. But before Tim puts his question to them, let's find out the identities of the gorgeous men waiting for him behind the screen. Hello, number one. What's your name and where are you from?
Hello, Cilla. I am Richard Crookback, King of England.
Over to you, number two. What's your name, Chuck, and what do you do for a living?
I am Touchstone, stand up on Avon.
And finally, number three. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself, please.
I am a messenger from yonder, and the Queen, my Lord, is dead.
Well, we've met the talent. Now let's meet our lovely chooser. And doesn't she look great? You're certainly in for a treat tonight, lads. Now, Chuck, do you have some questions you'd like to put to the boys behind the screen?
Yes, I do, Cilla. My first question is to Richard Crookback. not a great start for us. I'm a keen market gardener. If you were a vegetable, what would you be?
Now is the winter of our discontent, made glorious summer by this leg of pork. And what better vegetable to accompany it than a parsnip? Roasted well. I wench a noble parsnip I would be, a fine, straight, full-figured parsnip with a slight hump.
Touchstone, could you answer that, please?
Marry, madam, I would as lief be a mirthful marrow as a melancholy mango, a blight on your allotment, mistress.
And messenger?
Huh? I still can't remember the bloody messenger.
If you were a vegetable.
Oh. What ho, my liege. Stout Wessex. That's not it.
No.
I'll a runner bean.
Oh, Scylla, I don't know which... Shall I ask another question, Scylla?
If you want to.
I don't.
It's uncanny, isn't it?
I like going out for meals in expensive restaurants. If you were a spicy, exotic dish, what sort would you be, and how would you make me want to eat you? Can I put that to number two, Touchstone?
If ace would I curry favour with you, fair maid, pop it on, my queen. I would be your man and your nan, my chutney charmer.
Pardon? Now, number three, messenger.
Runner bean vindaloo.
What a spicy dish would, Richard, what would you be?
I fain would be a Yorkshire pudding, drenched in the o'erweening curry sauce, and topped withal a white rose with.
Well, ooh, look at him. I've got a third one, Scylla. My hobbies are horse riding and going to the hairdressers. What animal would you be to make me want to saddle you, and how would you like your roots done? Number three, messenger.
Well, the wild boar, and as the roots, I think wild boar fertilizer, I think, at the back of a wild boar or something.
Richard III?
A buffalo. Bold and quick. And with a slight hump.
Is that a
him
slight hump on the roots?
Right. As to my roots.
Right.
You know full well I like my parsnips roasted.
Touchstone.
I am a stallion, my sturdy saddle. Tie my girth and mount me. As for my roots, they are streaky, cheeky, dozy, beaky.
Well, while Tim's making his choice, we'll now hear from Graham, who last went on a romantic holiday in Marbella with his chosen partner. So, Graham, was it a Laura fun?
No, Scylla, it was a disaster. She was unwell in the bus from the airport, and again in the lift in the hotel. We missed the gourmet evening in the hotel because she wanted to go for fish and chips. And then every night, all night in the bar, sinking lager and really embarrassing me at the karaoke, because I didn't know there was a dirty version of Nessun Dorma. And she insisted on going topless in the dining room, with her pants on her head, smoking her pipe and trying to pull the manager. Disastrous from start to finish.
Who I say? Well, next week, Princess Margaret will be giving her side of the story. Our next round is called Madrigal. How often, listeners, have you sat pondering what delights might be in store if our team members were to turn their talents to the musical pleasures of an Elizabethan madrigal? No, neither have I. In this round, teams, I'd like you to each sing a madrigal whose title is to be provided by the opposing team. This musical lament will be accompanied by Colin Sell, and music doesn't come much more lamentable than that. Tim and Willie, I'd like you to start, please. So, Barry and Graham, will you please give them a title?
Yes. Yes, I think the Scottish play.
do that.
Who's that on the banjo? As I was walking down the street, I shouted out, Macbeth!
You mustn't say that, an actor said. It can lead to sudden death.
If you must refer to that, then say the Scottish play.
All right, I said, the Scottish play, and immediately passed away.
Oh!
Okay, your turn now, Barry and Graham, and will you provide a title for their madrigal piece, Tim and Willie?
We'd like their lute song to be A Midsummer Night's Dream, and make it as lute as you like.
That's a turbo lute.
I joined a band of strolling players. 'Twas only for a lark. We played A Midsummer Night's Dream in leafy Regent's Park. I gave my bottom nightly, though my bottom's past its peak. I did it in the open air. My case comes up next.
Well, we're rapidly approaching the end of the show, but there's just time, I think, to fit in a round of Elizabethan Film Club. So while Samantha pops out to the local Shakespeare archive to enjoy the complete works, I'd like you teams to suggest some titles of films likely to be popular with an audience of Elizabethans. Willie, will you start, please?
The Armada They Fall.
When Harry Met Raleigh.
One Flew Over the Cuckold's Nest.
Bridge Over the River Thames.
The Good, the Bard, and the Ugly.
Golden Hind.
Where's Doublet Hose, sir?
Round the World in 3 years.
Essex and the Single Girl.
Francis the Talking Drake.
Rebel Without a Codpiece.
Sword Fight at the OK Corral.
Marlowe.
And so, as the dandruff of time is confronted by the head and shoulders of destiny, and the single sock of fate succumbs to the twin tub of eternity, I see that it's the end of the show, and indeed the series. We'll... You won't hear me doing that. We'll be back again on Christmas Day for a special bonanza edition of the show. In the meantime, from Samantha, the teams, myself, and the fine people of Stratford-upon-Avon, goodbye.
Brooke Taylor, Barry Trier, Graham Garden and Willie Rushton have been given Silly Things to Do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by John Naismith.